We're very thankful this afternoon to be back with you all and to have those who want to call this afternoon with us. We appreciate you so very much, especially if you're visiting with us and you've been invited to our services. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. We're so thankful to have you on our call and pray you're renew your body to be buried with Christ in baptism and become a member of the only church agreed upon in the Bible by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, understanding he suffered on that cross to save your soul, shedded the blood and washed your sins away in baptism. The same blood purchases church, his bride, the Church of Christ, only one you have read about in the Bible. And to our brothers and sisters who will join us this afternoon, we appreciate you so very much and pray that you are blessed to be with us and the lesson will be beneficial to your soul well-being. This afternoon, for a few minutes, if by any means I might attain. We're in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Here, Paul is a transition point in this letter to the Philippian congregation. He says, "Finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord." And he said, "Rejoice in the Lord." It rings through this book, joy and rejoice. But this time he's transitioning to a warning. But not to take away from rejoicing in the Lord. You can have joy, but you still got to be warned. And we can be cautious and protective, but still have joy and rejoice as Christians. Paul said, "To write the same things to you, to me, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Paul had given them the same warnings in the past, and now he's doing it again. And that's what's required to get to heaven. Sometimes we have to be reminded. And Paul said, "It doesn't bother me to write the same things to you. It's not grievous." Because I believe Paul is saying here, he's saying, "But it is for you, it is safe." So Paul was repeating himself, and Brother Brooks repeats himself on a lot of things when it comes to what God has said and what thus said the Lord. Why? It's safe. It's important to know that what we're doing is trying to make sure our souls are in a safe place. And it does not grieve us. It should not grieve you to hear the same thing over and over when it comes to what's right and what God expects from us and how he expects us to live and what type of character we should have and what manner of life we should live. It should be okay to repeat that because it's safe. And Paul says, here come the warning. Verse 2, he said, "Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision." First thing he points out is dogs. Beware of dogs. Now, this has reference to the Jewish false teachers. In the Jewish culture, a dog was nothing. Scavenger dogs roamed the street, impure, unclean, they were seen. And the Jews referred to Gentiles as dogs. In American culture, dogs are loved and nurtured. They were man's best friend. But this is what he's talking about here. He's talking about what Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 9. He said, all ye beasts of the field, come to the devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Today, we still have dogs in this sense. Dogs in this sense is that they are false teachers, ones that should not be loved or nurtured. Jesus even said in Matthew chapter 7 And in verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample under their feet and turn again and rend you. So Jesus is saying, don't give something holy to someone that's going to do something unholy with it, or throw a pearl, a valuable pearl to a pig that's going to run over and trample like it's nothing. So what they're talking about here is that when Paul referred to dogs that teach false doctrine, and that's what we should be warned about. We should be warned that in the world we live in, with a church on every corner, with preachers doing whatever they want to do, even in the Church of Christ, outside of the Church of Christ, anyone who would take the Holy Scripture as it is unholy is this reference of a dog. So Paul is saying, beware. He tells them to beware of the dogs, the false teachers, the evil workers, people in your life that can bring you down or bring you down into the state where there's evil works going on. Those who teach against God, that's evil. He said, beware of concision, those who taught at that time literal circumcision, which is not a problem for us today. We don't see that as a problem. But during the time Paul was writing this letter to the Philippians, the circumcision of the flesh was still a requirement under the old law. So they was trying to hold to that old law. And he had to deal with that. Of course, I don't have to deal with that today. In the world we live in today, circumcision is not considered a religious matter, as it was in Genesis 17:10, where God said, every man's child among you shall be circumcised. That was the circumcision of the flesh. But there is a circumcision today, and I won't deal with that. There's plenty of scripture references to that. But the emphasis this afternoon, the circumcision that we need to be understanding is the circumcision that will save our soul, that's going to keep us safe. We are understand that the circumcision we talk about is the circumcision of the heart, as Paul said in Romans chapter 2 and verse 29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. So what we're saying is there's a heart change. There's a circumcision that changes everything for us. And it all starts with obedience to the gospel. And when we obey the gospel, according to Colossians chapter 2, in Colossians chapter 2, Paul talks about circumcision there. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, he said, whom you also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hand, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. And by faith is when we obey God, by faith believing that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture and will forgive us if we have this baptism that as commanded by Jesus for the remission of sins, not to put away the filth of the flesh. No, this circumcision is not a fleshly circumcision, but a circumcision we call baptism, basically. The heart has to change. We have to have a mind change in order to be saved today, to be safe when it comes to our soul. It's when we're trying to attain salvation, we're trying to get to heaven. We got to do whatever it is. We stay away from the dog. We stay away from the false teaching. We follow the teachings of the New Testament. And the circumcision that we talk about today is a circumcision not made with hands. It's called baptism. So Paul is putting emphasis to them that they're not under that old law, and we won't deal with that this afternoon. He said, for we are, verse 3, we are the circumcision. We meaning Christians, those who have been born again of the water and of the Spirit. They've been circumcised through baptism, which worship God how in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Only those who've had that operation that we just talked about in Colossians, those who've been baptized obey the truth. They obey the truth. They are now worshipers of God in spirit and in truth. For God said in John chapter 4 and verse 23, Jesus said, the hour coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father. Watch this now, in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And that's what Paul is telling us. The worship today to obtain salvation. We got to focus on our worship. That's why this sermon I'm emphasizing, if by any means I might attain. We should make sure that whatever we're doing keeps us safe so we can attain salvation, so we can make heaven our home, so we can hear Jesus say, well done on that great resurrection of the dead. We want to be true worshipers. We want to be true to the scriptures. We want to stay away from the dogs and those who teach false doctrine. And Paul was warning this congregation that you stay away from it. And that's what we have to be warned today in the world we live in, brothers and sisters. Even, unfortunately, even in the Lord's church, there are men who are taking away, they're leaving the truth. They're gone to the wayside. They're falling by the wayside. They fall into the doctrines and commandments of men. Let us be aware to keep it safe to obtain heaven. We must stay with the truth and nothing but the truth. So help us God. Paul is telling these Christians this. I want you to rejoice, but to be aware. Don't put your guard down. Be aware. Be sober. Be vigilant, as Peter said, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion and seeking whom he may devour. Paul says in verse 3, we include ourselves, the marks of true circumcision. We are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice. Number 2:1, we worship God in spirit. Number 2, rejoice in Christ Jesus. And have number 3, have no confidence in the flesh. Our salvation has nothing to do with flesh, but only the blood of Jesus and obedience from the heart, the form of doctrine that will save our souls. That means we do what the Bible says. We speak what the Bible speaks. We be silent when the Bible is silent. We do things the Bible way. We wear Bible names, and we live according to what the Bible teaches. The Bible is the word of God. The New Testament is what we follow. It's the word of God, which is quick, it's powerful, it's sharp than any two-edged sword, piercing even the mind and sunder of the soul, the spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's where we at. We want to make sure that we let the word of God guide our footsteps, that knowing that the word of God is the lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It guides us down the path of righteousness. And we have to understand that Paul is teaching them that you stay focused. Beware. Beware that we must be worshipers in spirit, and we must rejoice in Christ and don't have no confidence in the flesh. Don't trust your own judgment. Go by what God has said for us to do. You do that because it's safe. Why stay safe? Why? At the beginning, of this, he says, stay safe. And then in verse 11, he's going to say, that I might attain. We want to get to heaven. We can't get to heaven rolling the dice, taking chance, if you will, and going along to get along. If things are wrong, they're wrong. If it's not right, it's not right. The Bible gives us all the answers we need. Follow the scripture. Follow me as I follow Christ. If I lead the truth, you don't follow. Nobody follows some other man of the flesh. Don't put confidence in man. Put confidence in God, because our truth is there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, Paul said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinking that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul basically says, if anyone should teach circumcision of the flesh, it should be him. He was telling them he had the credentials to go back to the old law if he wanted to. Listen to him. And he was convincing them that these dogs, these guys out here trying to take y'all back to the old law, under the old system, when Jesus died for a new system, he called them the dog. Notice that if he said, if anybody would go back that way, I would be the one to do it. Listen, he said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5. He said, here's his credentials. He said, circumcised the 8th day. There, he followed Genesis 17 and 12, just like under the old law. He was circumcised of the stock of Israel. He was a Jewish and of the tribe of Benjamin. He could relate to the Jews. He's of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. He said he was Hebrew of Hebrews. As touching the law of Pharisee, he was strictly abiding by the law. That's why Paul was wreaking havoc on the church, because he was holding to the old law. concerning zeal. Paul said concerning zeal. We will talk about somebody with zeal. I had zeal. I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law of blameless. He said, I kept the old law. Paul was saying, if anybody is qualified to teach circumcision, it would be him. And he's not teaching that circumcision by hand. That's not what he was teaching. He's telling them, you beware of those folk that teach that. Paul said, I could teach it. He said, now listen, what we're saying, I'm concerned in zeal, he said. Paul says, you want to know about zeal? I got zeal. Listen, his zeal for Judaism was demonstrated by the fact that he was a persecutor of the Church of Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, he told Timothy, he described who he was before he converted. He called himself the chief of sinners. Paul says, who was before a blasphemer, verse 13, a persecutor, injurious, one that's insulted people and hurled out comments to them, calling them all kind of names because they weren't of the Old Testament law. He said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's what he called himself, chief. Paul said, if anybody got the credentials, I do. Concerning zeal, you want to know somebody that was zealous on the old law? It was him. Persecuting the church of righteousness, even blameless. But verse 7, Paul breaks it down and says, I had all that going for me. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how religious a person is. Doesn't matter how holy you may be. You can be wrong. In the end, Paul would have lost his soul if he'd have stayed that way. But his heart changed. Paul had a change of heart. He was down praying. Ananias went to him. Saw. Jesus pricked. He was kicking against the prick. But his eyes was open to the truth. God said, Ananias to him. Paul said, I did ignorant, but when I learned better. Ananias went to him in Acts 22:16. He said, arise, why tarriest thou? Be baptized. Watch away your sins. And Paul did it. He obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine that would save his soul. And then he started teaching that same truth. What's safe is to be able to admit when you're wrong, and when you're wrong, make the change necessary. Because everything else, he said, I count it but lost. Why? Because I want to obtain. He's trying to obtain heaven. He's trying to get to heaven. He said, yea, doubtless, verse 8, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He counted for nothing. Here's what we need to understand. Paul is telling them, yes, I'm repeating myself. Yes, I'm talking about them. Yes, I'm telling you guys that you don't have to go back to the old law. Don't listen to the teachers of false teachers. Paul said, you know the truth. Now that I know the truth, everything I learned on the old law, I count it but loss. A loss. Because I got the excellency of knowledge. The excellency of knowledge, the knowledge of truth. When you learn the truth, brothers and sisters, it's a beautiful thing to know I know the truth. That I can't be, that we got the book. That's what we should be as members of the Lord's church. When your confidence would come into the fact that what we do, the name out on the building, the Church of Christ is referred to. That's in the Bible. Taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, that's in your Bible. Being baptized for the remission of sin, that's in the Scripture. That's a command. Giving is a command. Worshiping is a command. We count anything we knew that wasn't according to this truth, and we count it as dumb. It meant nothing. When you learn the truth, it's shouting time. Truth is an excellency of knowledge. Why? That you might attain, because it's safe. What's safe? You stay with what's safe in order to get to heaven, because you want to obtain. You want to attain heaven. You want to be able to see God's face. Everything you thought you knew was right, and you found out you were wrong, count that as lost. You thought You could go to heaven by just being good. Count that as lost. If you thought you could pray a sinner's prayer, you count that as lost. If you think you can just be a member of the Church of Christ, you can be saved just because you're a member of the Church of Christ. Count that as lost because you got to be faithful. Wow, that's in the Bible. Jesus said, be faithful in the truth. The truth is what's going to get you to heaven. Looking in the mirror, identifying sins in your life. Know what it is. Don't fool yourself. Call it what it is. Get it out of your life. Work on that. Repeat it. If it's an issue in your life that you got to get out of your life, you got to do everything. You got to do anything you can to obtain salvation. And anything you learn in the world that wasn't according to the scripture, you just count all things but loss. If you thought you were right, that was just, you may have been popular. You may be popular. And you can be popular and wrong. You can be faithful and wrong. You can be a deacon and be wrong. You can be a preacher and be wrong. You can be an elder and be wrong. You can be a brother and be wrong. You can be a sister and be wrong. And people who are trying to get to heaven know that they got to look at themselves and say, I have been wrong. I have been wrong. You know, there are some people in church who've never made a confession. There are some people in church who say, well, I'm scared of people. Well, you got to make a confession. If it's called confess your fault one another, you should be confessing that fault one to another. I'm not suggesting that public confession is a command. That's not what I'm saying, because that's not anybody. But it is a command to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. And he said, if we confess our sins, he's just to forgive us. He said, Brother Brooks, I've never gone before people. Well, the reason I ask the church to pray for me, I want everybody to pray. I want everybody praying. That'll be a test of your faith. Can you stand and say, I have sinned? I have sinned. I have sinned. I ask God to forgive me. I ask the church to pray for me. If I say, what that person do? That's not what we're talking about. The point of it is that you're trying to stay safe. You got to do everything. You got to get out of your comfort zone. In other words, you got to do everything the scripture said do. And stay safe so you can attain salvation. That's what this is. Everything else is lost, man. At the end of the day, as I said last week, sin will cause you to lose your soul. And one of the dangers that I see in the church is that brothers and sisters of the church have categorized sin. And the sins that they worry about are the ones that they categorize as big and bad. And that's what I see going to be the danger for many people. Here's why I say that. You can't stay safe, and you cannot attain salvation if you don't look at sin as sin, whether it's whatever sin it is, ignoring truth, ignorance of truth, disobedience to truth. Paul talked about that in Romans, and I looked at that. People who will not get to heaven because they're filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. We're looking at the Beatitudes on Wednesday. Do we understand that there's change necessary to attain salvation? To get to heaven, you can't be a whisperer. You can't be a backbiter. You can't have so much pride that you can't admit you're wrong because you will never confess. It's pride. Three things don't get us, y'all. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And being a Christian for the years I've been, I believe there's going to be many Christians will miss heaven because they didn't deal with what they call the little issues, little sins in their life. Don't let that be you. You see, well, you're repeating yourself. So did Paul. So did Paul. I've heard you say that before, Brother Brooke. So did the Philippians. Paul told them that. He said, I'm going to repeat it. Why are you repeating it? Because it's safe. It's safe. It's something you need to know. It's whatever's in this world, brothers and sisters, as John said in 1 John 2:16, all that is in the world, what's unsafe, you can wrap it up in these three. What's unsafe, and what will prevent you from attaining salvation, you got to look at the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. John said, it is not of the Father, but of the world. So Paul is saying, you know what? I got this knowledge. Back to Philippians 3. And when you have knowledge, it's powerful. Use all the knowledge. Don't just take a sermon like this or, well, you're talking to those who are not members of the church. You pull everything you can pull out of a sermon. There's some people, I can't listen to him. I can't take the word of God works no matter whose mouth is coming out. If you're looking for, if you're looking and listening for something for you, you can get it from me. You can get it from Brother Starr. You can get it from whoever's speaking. If it's coming to the scripture, it's God speaking to the scripture. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's one of the things that Paul talked about with Timothy. Even this morning, we were talking about him, how from a child, Timothy knew scripture. He said, Dad, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. It's the scriptures. His mama, his Lois and Eunice taught him from a child. What did they teach him? They taught him the scriptures. Why? Because they were able to make him wise unto salvation. He could attain salvation. He could get to heaven. It was safe for him. It's important for us to know the scriptures, to have this excellency of knowledge. Everything I'm talking about this evening is about us attaining salvation, as he would say in the last verse I would deal with today. He began it with stay safe. Beware. Know what you're dealing with. Look at your life. Look at him. He said, look at me. He was telling me I could go back and tell y'all what I was. But then Paul writes to Timothy and said, and I was a chief of sinners. And God counted me worthy to be put in the ministry. So now, if the scripture are able to make us wise, that's the excellency of knowledge, 2 Timothy 3:15, as we look at Timothy, as I refer to him. Who taught him that? His mom and his grandma. We have to take the word of God and take it into our lives and let it work. Flush out the pride. Deal with the lust. Call sin, sin. Don't cover up your sin as if it don't exist. Deal with it. Call it what it is. Why? Stay safe. That you might attain salvation. Paul, back in verse 9, Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, after he come out, he says, in verse 8, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Verse 9. Be in Christ. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul goes on to tell them to cure. You got to be in Christ. And when you're found in him, it's not about your own righteousness. It wasn't about his righteousness, Lord. That's why he said, I could, if I wanted to brag, I could tell you all the things I could have stayed under the law. But he didn't. He said, but when he heard the truth, that which is through the faith, that's faith coming by hearing by the word of God. Paul heard of God. He obtained righteousness through, which is of God by faith. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 1, Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. But notice what he said. For I bear them record, they had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. The same thing he said about himself. But they being, notice what they did, being ignorant of God's righteousness, they went about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. If we stay with God, if we stay with the scripture, we can learn the righteousness of God by faith and believing what it says, teaching what it says, and understanding that our faith in him will come from hearing the word of God preached. As I close, he says in verse number 10, that I may know him. It's the only way we're going to know God, the only way we're going to know Christ, is let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The word of God, God gave the word. When you take the word of God and put it in your mind, you can know it. You can know God. You can know the mind of God. You can know the mind of God because it's in writing. That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration, God's breath. God breathed the word of God. It came, the Holy Spirit guided the apostles to write it. So when you're reading the Bible, you're reading the word of God, you can know God. You can know him. You can know Christ. You can know, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. When you know the power of the resurrection, then you would know when Jesus got up from the grave. This is what he's talking about. And he says, all power has been given unto me. He had conquered sin. He had conquered death. God raised him up, and he raised up with all power. And he said, go to teach all nations, baptize them. Matthew 28:18. That's the power of his resurrection. He rose up as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He died to save us. He was on the cross, and we have a fellowship of his suffering. He suffered on that cross. He suffered for us for 6 long hours. Before that, he was beaten and brutally treated and beaten with a whip. He suffered. He suffered. And we will suffer in his life. But Jesus suffered in a way we won't suffer. But we in being in fellowship with his suffering, and conformable to his death, meaning that there's a conformable, that's a death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6:3. When we were baptized, you conform, and it looks just like with Christ. There's a death, burial, and resurrection, and then there's a faithful living after you resurrect. In Romans 6:3, Paul says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, baptized into his death. There's his death. Therefore, we are buried with him. There's the burial. We are buried him by baptism into death, that like that Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also. Look at the resurrection. Rise in newness of life. For we've been planted together in the likeness of his death. We should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, there's the conformity that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that his former should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. If we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that being raised, that Christ being raised from the dead, died no more, and death had no more dominion on him. For in that he died. He died unto sin once, but in that he lived unto God. There is some power, there was power in his resurrection. And there is power when we conform through baptism and rise to walk in newness of life. That means you give your life as he did. He died with pain and shame. He died a horrible death on the cross. And we conform. No pain, no shame. He did it all. He paid it all. He bore it all. I love that song. He bore it all. He went to the cross for us. That's why we should love him. That's why we should serve him. Peter told, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, he said, man, if anybody gonna suffer, let him suffer as a Christian. That's why you want to be a Christian. If you're gonna suffer in this life, suffer as a Christian. Don't be ashamed. But then we glorify God on that behalf, 1 Peter 4:16. What are we saying this evening? Here it is. Philippians 3:11. Why'd you say all that, Paul? Why did Paul go through that whole discourse right there with those Christians? He said, I did. I took this route. Notice how he said, I may know him, that I may know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, that I may be conformed to his death. Paul was talking about the things he did and conformed to, the things he did, rather. He says, if by any means, verse 11, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What are you saying, Paul? Y'all know it's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Paul said, one day, I want to rise up. I want to make it to heaven. I want to attain the great consummation of the glorious resurrection of God's children. We'll all be caught up with him. And one day, brothers and sisters, if we stay safe, if we watch out for the dogs, if we stay with the scriptures, the power of the resurrection, if we stay in fellowship with his suffering, if we stay, if we continue to study to get to know him, if we live righteous, if we put everything behind us that we didn't do right and count it as loss, if we remain faithful, don't conform to the flesh, don't give in to the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eye, and don't let pride stop you from doing what God has told you to do. Don't let, if you're on the call today and you're not a Christian, you have not been baptized. You say, well, I just don't believe you got to be in the Church of Christ. I don't believe you have to be baptized. But at some point you got to say, is the Bible right? If you say the Bible, it got to be right, man. Only pride will keep you out of heaven like that. You got to let go of your pride. If you're on the call today and you're a visitor with us, you're not a member of Church of Christ, the Bible teaches that the saved are in the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. The truth of the matter is there's only but one church. Ephesians 4:4, there's one body. Ephesians 1:22 tell us the body is the church. Colossians 1:18 tell us the body is the church. Colossians 1:24 tell us the body is the church. There's but one body, but one church. You can't be saved attending the church of your choice. It's not safe. You got to put everything away that could cause you to be at risk of being in the resurrection of the unjust. You want to be resurrected as a child of God. You want to be that person who will hear him say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Jesus said in John 5:28, marvel not at this. The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. What is Paul teaching the Christians then that we need to know? But a summary of the lesson today, this afternoon. Do everything you can, and by any means, do whatever you got to do to experience the resurrection of life. Stay safe. Be aware. Know what you've been taught. Live according to the scripture. Get the knowledge you need and let that knowledge be your light to get to heaven. So if you're on the call this evening and you're not a Christian, I just talked to you, but you need to, number one thing you got to do is hear the word of the gospel, Acts 15 and verse 7. The gospel is the story of Jesus suffering, how he suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary. Number two, you got to believe that. Same verse, Acts 15, 7. Hebrews 11, 6. Number three, you have to repent of your sin. You have to make a decision. There's a circumcision of the heart. It's in your mind. The heart is what we use to think with. As a man thinking in his heart, so is he. So in your mind, you have to say, do I want to attain? Am I safe? You say, well, I'm not in the Church of Christ. I haven't been baptized. I haven't had a resurrection from baptism. I haven't been born again. What do you need to be? Oh, you say, I was baptized before, but I'm not a member of the Church of Christ. That's not the true baptism. You didn't get the right baptism. There's only one true baptism. It's like there's only one true church. You can't be in a church. You can't read about the Bible and say you got the right baptism. You didn't do it. You got to repent. You got to change. You got to change. And then you have to be willing to confess Jesus be the Son of God before me. And then after that, you got to be baptized and commanded. I've talked about that today. Acts 2:38 is for the remission of sins. Jesus commanded baptism. And then the Lord himself will add you to the church. No man can put you into the church. You got to obey God. He'll put you there. And then if you live faithful and you do what I'm talking about doing, everything you can do, you do it, that you may obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. And then, and only then, when you hear him say, well done, do you know you finished the course? You kept the faith that you might attain. If you're a Christian, you say, Brother Brooks, I want to go to heaven. I know. We all make mistakes. And sometimes you got to confess your fault. Sometimes you got to call someone and ask them to pray with you. The problem is, the person you call, they got to be honest enough to tell you if they can pray for you. Or you can ask the church to pray for you. Ask everyone to pray for you. That's your choice. If you're going through something right now, we got a lot of people that are sick. A lot of people in our congregation that are going through sicknesses and deaths and losing loved ones. And they want us to pray with them and pray for them. If you need us to pray with you this evening, we want to do everything we can to help you get there, to get to heaven. We're going to sing this song of encouragement at this time. If you have the need to be baptized, let us know by hitting 5-star. Or if you have a confession or prayer request, let us know. Remember, if by any means, I might attain. Hope you enjoy the lesson.